Today's Survivor Exit Interview Podcast with Carter Williams is made possible in part when our listeners get the best holiday deals around at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. It's one heck of a site. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here with another Survivor Exit Interview Podcast, and today we're going to be talking with Carter Williams, the latest person voted out of the tribe. He told the tribe they've got to, you know, play with their hearts, not with their heads, and that's what that gets you on Survivor, and latest person voted out, so we'll talk with Carter and hear what he has to say about everything that's going on Survivor Philippines. Had a great show with Stephen Fishback last night. We recapped the whole episode, talked about all of the strategy going on in this game on Survivor Know-It-Alls, as we do live every week at 9:15 Eastern after Survivor. Had a great conversation with him, and later on today we're going to talk with Jenna Maraska. So a very busy day here on Rob as a Podcast, as it is every Thursday, but I see that we have Carter on the line, and so let's go ahead and patch him in. Carter, are you there?
Yes.
Carter, good morning. How are you? Rob Cisternino.
What's up, man?
What is up, Carter? looking forward to chatting with you this morning about the game.
Yeah, are we going to be on a podcast?
Carter, I want to tell you, we are on a podcast.
What?
Yes, yes.
Nice, man.
Carter, good to talk to you. I've heard nothing but good things about you from the players.
Seriously?
That are coming out of the game, from the people you played the game with. Everybody loved you, but a lot of us at home wanted to see more of you.
I know. Speak softly and carry a big stick, right?
Is that what you did?
That's kind of what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
But, sorry, because I guess it doesn't make as great a TV.
All right, well, Carter, let's tell you, this is your chance now. Tell us what was really going on. So what was your plan post-merge, and where did it go wrong for you?
Okay. Well, the plan post-merge was to never take that necklace off. But seriously, the plan was I get there, and everyone's going like, man, we got chaos in our tribe, because we think, like, we're going to get there and pretty much get voted off. Like, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they pick us off?
Makes sense.
You know, why wouldn't they guarantee a final six? Instead, they just started, like, getting all crazy, and it was nuts. So we get there, you know, and everyone's, like, freaked out about RC because she's playing the game so hard and she's strategizing so hard, you know. And people don't like how hard she's strategizing. People don't like Pinner, how good he is talking with people. People don't like that Jeff Kent has some power, I guess you could say. So we get there, and everyone's talking about how these people are, like, over-strategizing and just, like, coming off so strong and talking to people like way too much. So I'm like, sweet, I'm going to find a plan, stick with it. And then why go around trying to, you know, overdo it? Why go around trying to be this, like, someone who's constantly gaming? You know, that's ultimately what got a lot of people in trouble. So I had a plan, and it was, eventually it became, be with Painter, be with Scoop, and be with Lisa in the final four. And even though they showed that very little, that was a plan that was well aware of me, to me, and that was obviously well aware to Painter until, you know, it kind of blew up. But so that was our plan, and I was going to sit back and ride that wave.
Yeah.
I mean, do you kind of see what I'm saying?
No, I understand.
Over-strategizing really shot a lot of people in the foot. So if that was my problem by not doing that, then – yeah, you know, I'm sorry.
Well, no need to apologize to me, Carter. I understand what you're saying. Let's talk about last night's episode. Now, you were very upset because Malcolm and Denise had said earlier in this season that they wanted to take the best people with them. Denise at Tribal Council, it was 2 weeks ago, she said, Jeff, this isn't going to be a season where we're going to take people to the finals who are bad players. That's not how it's going to work this season. Yet, that seems to be a 180 from Denise and, by proxy, Malcolm on what they want to do here.
This is really a point where the game gets difficult. Because, you know, I was asking those guys to play with their hearts.
Yeah.
Instead of their heads, you know. And when there's $1 million on the line, why not play with your head?
Well, that's a good point.
You know, but that was the theme. And that was, you know, so I'm like, wow, I'm playing with these people who really want to go to the end with people that they feel like they deserve it. So why not be who I am? Why not work hard in camp? Why not give it my all in challenges? Why not be friends with these people? I mean, why not be more enjoyable? And ultimately, that's what I thought we were doing. That's what I thought, how I thought the season was going. And all of a sudden, you know, Johnny Utah is yelling at him, "This is your wake-up call, guys," and calling Malcolm Johnny Utah.
Oh, why do you call him Johnny Utah?
Just because he said it was his wake-up call. We actually joke, Malcolm, I'm a huge fan of the movie Point Break,
yeah.
And Malcolm jokes all the time. He actually calls me Johnny Utah because I would always have these really deep, serious looks on my face, and just pretty much one-liners would come out, like very quotable one-liners would come out, and you know, Malcolm would be like, "Is that all?" You know, so he called me Johnny Utah. So I kind of think my gameplay was maybe based off of a Keanu Reeves movie.
Yeah.
Like one-liners every now and then.
Carter, I didn't think of you as the king of quotable one-liners.
Yeah, well, Pinner or Katie, man.
All right, well, let's go back to this idea of playing with your head versus playing with your heart, because you make a great point. That is a great way to get ahead in Survivor. I think that the biggest overlooked thing about simplifying Survivor strategy is just be likable, and people will want to keep you around for as long as possible. But at some point, you got to try to make a move. Was there an in for you anywhere with the final six other than, hey, I'm playing hard?
Yeah. Obviously there was. I mean, there was a great plan that was getting ready to take place, and Survivor gods be praised, Malcolm pulled out the immunity win.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was, and once again, you know, I was well aware of that plan. They came to me and said, like, "Look, we want to play this game. We want to play with you, beat Malcolm in the immunity challenge, and we're going to, you know, have a chance to go all the way." And so I'm thinking, great. Like, these people are willing to play the game with me. And then, that blew up, and they just kind of solidified, and, you know, that was really, kind of looking back, that was extremely unfortunate for me.
Yeah. Well, how about instead of voting out Malcolm, was there any talk of voting out Denise then after Malcolm won immunity?
No, there was no talk of it. And I talked with both Lisa and Scoopin, and, you know, maybe if it's not getting shown as much, they truly thought of me as a person that was a big threat. And there's a scene, you know, that CBS posted, and I'm telling them why they should keep me, and I walk away, and Lisa goes, "Wow, that's exactly the reason we shouldn't keep him."
Why? Because,
you know, I was basically, well, I was giving my argument as like, just basically giving my argument on why I wanted to stay. And Lisa goes, "If he does that, you know, in the finals, then we're going to lose to him." And I know, you know, we're seeing on TV a different thing that they saw, but they saw me, you know, being really well-liked by people, trying really hard around camp, bringing a good attitude. And so, you know, when Malcolm lost, Scoopin just kind of, you know, I talked to Lisa and Scoopin, and it just wasn't there.
Yeah. How about with Lisa and Scoopin? We saw a little bit of this, you know, talking about God and religion and all this stuff from last night. Was there much more of that during this season than what we saw just a little bit of last night?
You know what? I was actually pretty proud of the people out there, because they were like, man, a lot of times it can not look good. You know, to say God had a hand in how you played Survivor, I think is a load of BS, and I think it's a way a lot of people justify what they do, kind of a coping mechanism yes. for big decisions. You know, me and Lisa were obviously very close personally out there. I mean, at one time she said, like, my heart is so strong for Pinner and Carter. And last night she kind of mentioned on it, and I think I personally cringed. You know, I think when people say, God wants me to do this, and it's a, you know, a decision like that, I think that's just really kind of someone's way of coping with a decision they don't want to make. And so I steered clear to that. I don't know if that went on. You know, it's when you're out there and you're tired and you're hungry, you kind of start to look for some kind of hope, and you kind of look for some kind of greater being than you. But I don't think God plays Survivor.
I don't think so either. You have convinced Mike and Lisa that God wanted Abby to be voted out instead of you?
It's funny you say that, because watching the episode, I should have been like, hey, look, it's the perfect chance to get the, you know, evil person off. And
yeah.
It's hard talking to people when they're using God as an excuse.
Yeah.
Because people pray to a lot of different gods. So
that's right. Now, which of the twosomes were you tighter with, Mike and Lisa as opposed to Malcolm and Denise?
You know, Mike and Lisa, they wore their emotions on their sleeves, kind of like me. Denise and Malcolm, they're playing a great game, and they stayed stone cold, you know, the whole time. I got to know them, obviously, me and when Denise came to our tribe in Calabao, I was all for keeping her just because of how hard she was working. We had a lot of girls kind of complaining and laying around, and Denise was just got there and she worked hard. So I got to know them really well, and I was super stoked when that merge happened just to hang out with Pete and Malcolm. But to go back to your question, I was emotionally very close to Lisa and Scoopin. You saw in that challenge or that immunity, and as bittersweet as it sounded hearing it again, you know, Scoopin kind of saying he's like a son to
heck
me.
Heck of a guy, even.
Yeah, it was as my mom's, you know, walking away in tears, he's saying, heck of a guy, heck of a guy, heck of a guy. And I think the word legend was
Whoa.
Thrown out there one time. So, yeah. So, yeah, you know, flattery leads to ruin. But I had fun with those guys. I played the game kind of, I felt for Lisa because, you know, she is playing a game part from her heart and part from her head. And that can really weigh on you, you know?
Yeah.
Denise and Malcolm, I think they're playing a game straight from their head. And I don't know. There's a lot of different ways to play this game. Which do you think is better?
Well, I am always a fan of playing the game with your head, but I certainly could see your point because I know in your bio early in the season, you talked about Fabio, and that's exactly how he won the game of, you know, playing a very similar game to the one that you did. And then at the end, nobody could ever say, hey, you know, it's Carter's fault that I'm out of the game. You know, Carter was just this guy
yeah.
who was a great friend of mine throughout the whole game, and he won the immunities at the end. And people have won the game playing the way, it's not my favorite way to play the game, but it's, you know, if everybody played the game the same way, it'd be a boring show.
Hey, exactly.
Yeah. Let me ask you about Jeff Kent. You guys were very close on the island. Did you have any idea that he was a baseball player during your time on the island?
I just thought he was some redneck Texas hick.
Yeah.
Which I told him that later on, you know, and he goes, oh, yeah, that's who I am, actually. He's like, I just so happen to play baseball. So, you know, 99% of the world knows Jeff Kent as the Major League Baseball MVP, but I know Jeff Kent is this hardworking Texas hick, you know, who I became friends with out there and really had a good time with. I mean, he's a tough guy. He's different than Pinner, who is, you know, wants to talk to you and be all wants to know about you. And Pinner's got this outgoing personality. But I really liked Jeff Kent, and he was a hardworking guy. It was sad to see him go so soon.
Yeah, and Penner last week as well was somebody else who was talking about how great you were. What was your relationship like with Penner? Because it definitely seemed early on like you were much more Team Kent, but as the merge went on and Kent went out of the game, it seems like you and Penner got very close.
Yeah, you know what I love about just my relationship with Penner is, like most people, my first impression of Penner is him betraying his alliance, you know, when Yul and Ozzy, when all that went the whole way. And so Ozzy being one of my heroes is like, I'm watching Penner, I'm looking at Penner going, this is the guy, you know, who betrayed his alliance. And dude, like Penner does with everybody, he just wears on you in the best way possible. And you just start to love the guy. And I feel bad, you know, that we were still out to get him. There's, you know, there's that big debate over what do you do with returning players. So Penner became one of my best friends. I was super stoked to play with him. I was super stoked to, you know, try to make something happen with him. And I wish we were sitting in a Final Five right now thinking about how we're going to be in the finals.
Yeah, and real quick before you go, Carter, I know you mentioned knowing Penner's backstory. How big of a Survivor fan were you before the show?
I'm a pretty big Survivor fan. To be honest with you, and I'm sure you can could see this, the thing that I wish I would have paid attention to more was certain strategic things and less about the challenges. That's really what drew me to it. But, no, I'm a huge fan. I fell in love with the game first watching Danny Boatwright, and
wow.
I felt like I was in a situation similar to Danny Boatwright. She actually lives down the street from me,
oh,
so we're friends
okay.
now. And I got a text last night at midnight that just said I'm pissed, and it's from her. And but no, I felt like I was in a situation, you know, similar to Danny's. Like my back was up against the wall, and here I was given this opportunity to kind of stick it to the world and win this game. You know, or win the physical part of this game, and I fell short, which is a bummer. But no, I am a big fan of the game. Love it. Think it's great. Yeah, so when Danny Boatwright played back in the day, I told, I was like, what, a freshman in high school? I told my family, if she gets voted out tonight, I'm never watching this game again.
All right. Well, you never had
to. So, perfectly enough, she went and won it. So.
All right. Well, Carter, thanks so much for coming on and getting to know you a little bit better. I think I can echo Mike Scoopin and say you are one heck of a guy, Carter. Thanks for coming
dude.
On. And we'll see you at the finale,
yeah.
Okay?
Later, man.
Take care, Carter. All right, everybody, there you have it. Carter Williams, one heck of a guy. Anyway, so good for Carter. Come on and you know, talk a little bit about, admit some of where he went wrong in the game. Tell us a little bit about what he was trying to do. And a lot of fun, Carter Williams. All right, so the Our Survivor Day here on Rob as a Podcast is just getting started. I'm going to be talking to in later on this afternoon, probably late in the afternoon my time here in California, with the winner of Survivor the Amazon, Jenna Maresca. It was 10 years ago. We were at each other's throats right about this time as we got towards the end of Survivor the Amazon. But now we'll talk about what's going on here in Survivor Philippines and what Jenna has thought about this season, and talk a little bit about our commentary that we just did on Survivor the Amazon. And if you want to check any of that out, you could listen to the first episode of our Survivor Amazon DVD commentary for free if you go to robhasawebsite.com/commentary. And then we're really getting down to it. Only one Wednesday night left on Survivor Philippines. And then after that, next Sunday night is going to be the finale of Survivor Philippines. We will crown the winner of Survivor 25 live, have our reunion show, and we just announced it last night. Stephen Fishback and I will be doing a live Survivor Know-It-Alls following the reunion show of Survivor Philippines. So you can write that on your calendar, 11:15 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, December 16th. So that should be a very fun one to do as we talk about our first reactions to who won Survivor Philippines. And of course, we'll do our exit interviews with the whole final four or final five, however they're going to do it, next Monday. And that should be a lot of fun. So really coming down to it, it's really crunch time here on Rob as a Podcast. We also opened up another Tundra Cap Shin contest for you guys to win a Tundra hat, courtesy of our friends at robhasatundrahat.com. If you want to caption Kim Spradlin and win a Tundra hat for this week, go to robhasawebsite.com/tundracaption. And thanks to everybody who's been using our Amazon link to helping to support the show and get some great deals on Amazon.com. You could do that anytime at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. So I'm going to go prepare for my podcast with Jenna Maraska. We'll open up the Facebook thread, get some questions for you guys. And don't forget to leave us some voicemail if you want to get on the show and have some questions that we'll answer later on in the Survivor podcast. You could do that at robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. Have a great Thursday, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.